The reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 639 of the Pew Bibles. My son, I'll get one and get some light. My son, if you have popped up 70 for your security for your neighbour, if you have stuck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son. To free yourselves, since you have fallen into your neighbour's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbour. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourselves like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the hand, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at the harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. A scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a crooked mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ian. So, in our series, looking at the early chapters of Proverbs, we are covering some of the words that you will have heard if you're doing the Bible in a Year journey. Nicky Gumbel starts off each day with a psalm or part of a psalm or a few verses from Proverbs. And these little snippets of wisdom serve two purposes. They set the scene for the longer passages from the Old and New Testament. And they also show us by example that we are meant to meditate on Bible passages to extract their wisdom. And in this series, we've been alternating between the words of a father, who we might as well call Solomon, to his son, and the words of a mysterious woman who we are calling Lady Wisdom. And today is the last slice of wisdom from Solomon that we're going to be looking at. He's got three things to say to his son in this section that Ian read to us. First, some warnings about unwise financial commitments. Then some warnings about laziness, which are often rightly aimed at teenage boys, aren't they? And finally, a portrait of the wicked person that you need to avoid becoming. So let's look through these three things in order. It's interesting that Solomon doesn't say, don't lend money to someone you can't trust. But instead he says, if you've got yourself into trouble like this, if you've shaken hands with a stranger, if you've got yourself taken in, then this is what you should do. That's nice and realistic, isn't it? He could have said, just be careful, don't get scammed, don't listen to people who tell you this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, etc., etc., etc. Which is all very well, but no help whatsoever to someone who has fallen into the trap. But what he says is what you should do when it happens. And he says, strive with all your might to get free. Don't give in to your situation. Don't just meekly accept that you've made a mistake. And don't stand on your pride and think, oh, well, I mustn't admit that I've made a mistake, otherwise people will think the worst of me. No, put it right. Shout and holler, kick up a fuss, fight for what you know is right. Like a deer twisting and writhing to get free, like a bird flapping desperately inside the net, don't give in. Keep trying to escape. And that's advice that we can apply to all sorts of situations. We shouldn't sit back and accept the evil of the world. Ah, well, that's just the way it is. We should say, no, that's wrong. I'm not standing for it. When you see injustice, call it out. When evil is perpetrated, name it for what it is. Don't let it go by. And this leads very neatly into the next section with another comparison from the animal kingdom. We've had a gazelle, we've had birds, and now we're told to look at the ants. They're never still. Ever seen an ant taking it easy? You know, kicking back with sunglasses on, a little drink? No. Doesn't happen, does it? And in words that could be aimed at any teenager, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? The problem is that laziness starts small. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Just another 5 minutes. But each little choice to put off until later that unpleasant task contributes to building a habit. And habits contribute to building a character. 2 years ago, when we were starting John Mark Comer's course, Practicing the Way, he wanted us to grasp that if we do nothing, we won't just stay the same. Our characters will evolve, and what we turn into might be something that we would never actually choose. If we don't consciously allow God to form us after his own likeness, then the events of life will knock us into a different shape. Without realizing, we might gradually become bitter, or fearful, or stingy, or lazy. It's only when we put ourselves consciously into God's hands that we can change and grow the fruit of the Spirit, becoming more loving and joyful, more peaceful and kind, more patient, gentle, faithful, good and full of self-control. This whole passage is about how not to do it, isn't it? Having warned his son against laziness after telling him to get himself out of trouble with all his strength, Solomon finishes by showing him a portrait of the person he must not become. A troublemaker and a villain who goes around with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, motions with his fingers, plots evil with deceit in his heart. And then there's a list of seven that God hates. And this is a little rhetorical technique that Proverbs uses. And one of the prophets, Amos, does this as well. In Amos, 8 times over, he says, for 3 sins of Damascus, even for 4. For 3 sins of Edom, and even for 4. And so on. And Proverbs will later say, there are 3 things too amazing for me. 4 that I do not understand. Just an emphatic way of saying something. And here the numbers are 6 and 7. 7 is the number of completeness. God completely hates a wicked person, Solomon is saying. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, blood-stained hands, a heart planning evil, feet running swiftly astray, a false witness, a troublemaker. You can't think, oh, these things don't really matter. God never overlooks them, and neither should we. When I was a boy, I remember my father being particularly struck by a sermon that a visiting preacher preached in church once. That preacher quoted a saying which is attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson. Sow a thought, and you reap an act. Sow an act, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. We went home from church that day with my dad repeating this to himself over and over again. Sometime later, he gave me a present of a beautiful leather-bound prayer book. You'd be pleased with that, Ian. It was a Book of Common Prayer that he gave me, because that was his style. And written in the front in his lovely flowing handwriting, so different to my spidery scrawl, written in the bright blue ink that his fountain pen produced, he'd written those words. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And he followed it up with these words from Philippians. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I haven't got that prayer book anymore. I gave it away to an elderly lady who was leaving home and going into care, and she was very frightened. But I don't need to have the book. I will never forget what my father wrote in it. I can still picture the words. It's wisdom that I've tried to live by. The sort of wisdom that Proverbs offers us. So may it help us in our journey with Christ. Amen.